Welcome to Congress 101. Citizens Climate University is a product of Citizens Climate Education. My name is Ricky Bradley. I'm the Dallas North Texas group leader for Citizens Climate Lobby. Also do web design and in charge of our learning and education efforts as well. In this lesson, we're going to talk about the basics of the U.S. Congress. We're going to talk about the membership of Congress, the terminology used with Congress and some of the processes. We'll talk about the committees, where all the action happens, where all the real work is done. Then we'll move on to talk about the two chambers and the differences between them. And then we'll talk about the typical U.S. congressional office and the challenges that they face. So now on to the basics of the U.S. Congress. Let's begin to talk about membership. The U.S. Congress has two chambers. They're known as the Senate and the House of Representatives. Each state has two senators serving six-year terms for 100 senators total. In the House of Representatives, one representative from each district, of which there are 435, and they serve two-year terms. The number of representatives for a state is determined by population. So in total, there are 435 representatives and 100 senators for 535 members of Congress total. Let's talk about some of the basic terminology used in Congress. So you make sure you'll sound like a good citizen advocate. The term congressman normally refers to a member of the House of Representatives, while senator refers to your senators. Now, it's technically correct to refer to a senator as congressman, but most people don't. And you can also refer to your House of Representatives member as a representative. Now, one thing you'll hear around Citizens Climate Lobby a lot is the three-letter acronym MOC, and that stands for Member of Congress. We use that quite liberally around here. Each chamber of Congress has an elected leader in the House of Representatives. This person is known as the Speaker of the House. Currently, that's Paul Ryan. And in the Senate Majority Leader, the person who leads the Senate, is Mitch McConnell. The Majority Leader also customarily serves as the chief representative of their party in the Senate. Let's talk about where the work is done. In committee. Congress divides its legislative oversight and internal administrative tasks among 200 or so committees and subcommittees. Your member of Congress may belong to one or several committees, and it's important to note that this is where the real work is done. Let's talk about the different types of committees. First, there are standing committees. These are permanent legislative panels. They have jurisdiction. Standing committees consider bills and issues and recommend measures for consideration by their respective chambers. Then we have select committees. Select committees are temporary ones that do things like conduct investigations or conduct studies. And then we have joint committees. Joint committees are permanent, but focus more on housekeeping tasks rather than considering measures. So when you traditionally think of a congressional meeting or a congressional committee, what you traditionally think of is one of the standing committees, ones that consider bills and issues and recommend measures for consideration by the entire chamber. Now, it's not uncommon for committees with the same jurisdiction to go by different names in a different chamber. Why? We don't really know, just to confuse us maybe. But for example, if we look at the House, the group that handles revenue and taxation, it's called the House Ways and Means Committee. And if you look at them in the Senate, they're called the Senate Finance Committee. Now, all committees decide which bills and resolutions move forward for consideration by the House or Senate as a whole. And that's really what is meant by a bill being in committee. It hasn't advanced to the floor for a vote. Now let's think of the differences between the two chambers in Congress. In the Senate, committee work is easily bypassed. Yet in the House of Representatives, this is really where most of the work happens and most of the consideration happens. When it comes to, in terms of debate, much more robust and open debate in the Senate or in the House of Representatives, and maybe this is largely due to the number of representatives, remember, 435, debate is limited. Now in the Senate, amendments or riders are routinely introduced to bills, while in the House of Representatives, no non-germane amendments may be attached. And again, that may be another function of the number of representatives. In the Senate, there's less hierarchy. Folks are really generalists in the Senate, whereas on the House side, again, due to the number of people, there is more hierarchy and more specialization into a few focused areas. The Senate tends to be more foreign policy focused, while the House tends to be more tax and revenue focused. There are fewer committees in the Senate than there are in the House of Representatives, which has more committees and more subcommittees. And in the Senate, floor action, or the debate, right, is as influential or greater than, in some aspects, than the committee action. Whereas in the House of Representatives, committee action is more influential than floor action. The last thing we're going to talk about, the basics of the U.S. Congress, and really discuss the typical workings of a U.S. congressional office. Each member of Congress has at least two offices, one in the state or the district, and a legislative office, which is in Washington, D.C. Now, if the member represents a large state or district, let's say Texas or California, New York, they're typically going to have more than one district office if they're a senator. And even large districts can have more than one local office. Now, these offices are not monolithic. They're not all the same, yet each has their own type of budget, and in the House, that budget is limited. That budget is limited to $1.4 million a year. Now, in the Senate, it's not monolithic. It varies some, right? And that's because there are larger states. Now, most of the money goes to staff, with House offices limited to 18 full-time staff and 4 part-time staff. Now, Senate offices have no limits on staff. And it's easy to think about a typical congressional office like a small business. They do hiring, they purchase equipment, furniture, they find office space in the local district, they assign office space in DC, and you know, they provide services to customers, right? And the customers in this case being the constituents that they represent, you and me. Let's talk about the different roles in the congressional office. First up is the chief of staff. This is the head honcho in any congressional office in DC. This person is usually the closest advisor to the legislator and perhaps a very long-time personal friend. They run their operations much like a chief operations officer. Also in DC is the legislative director. This staffer is the senior policy staffer in the office. This person likely has been with the office for more than 3 or 4 years, been promoted from a legislative assistant, which we'll talk about next, and oversees all major policy decisions. He or she likely oversees and edits all newsletters, emails drafted by more junior staffers, and has jurisdiction over the issues most important to the legislator or the ones that are most prominent issues as determined by the legislators' committee assignments, right? So if something's really important to the legislator, or if it's part of their committee assignment, this legislative director is going to be very familiar with the decisions and the policies that are being considered. Next is the legislative assistant. Again, this person is in DC, and this staffer is the office expert on a particular issue or more than one particular issue, but not over all issues like the director. He or she drafts statements on speeches, writes memos on legislation, and advises the legislator on the issues in his or her jurisdiction. Now in the House, a legislative assistant can have up to 15 issues to follow. The jurisdiction of the Senate legislative aides ranges from 1 to 10 issues, depending upon the size of the office. In the House, these legislative assistants tend to be under 30, while in the Senate, they tend to be older and have graduate degrees. Now, legislative aides are research assistants, they're policy advisors to the members of Congress, and they also interject recommendations on policy decisions on the issues in their portfolio. They become policy experts, no matter how limited their experience with the issue, and they do influence legislators. And when a legislator is approaching the decision, they will always consult the staffer, who is the expert on the topic. Now, that does not mean that the staffer controls the decision-making. They don't. But rather what it means is that the staffer is usually in tune with the thinking of their bosses and helps guide them to a decision they assume the legislator desires. Now, also in D.C., we have the legislative correspondents. And there's maybe some of these in the district office as well. This staffer, sometimes called an LC, is primarily responsible for managing and drafting responses to mail. Typically, they are very young, under 25, and have less than a couple of years of experience on the Hill or in an office. They really toil away at a thankless job, sorting thousands of emails, faxes, postcards, and letters each month, really with the hope that they're going to get promoted as soon as one of the legislative aides finds another job. If you get a meeting with a legislative correspondent when you're trying to schedule a meeting with a legislator or an aide and you don't, it means that you get the meeting with the correspondent, it means that it's been really it's a very busy day on Capitol Hill, and that the legislative aide has some type of scheduling conflict. Staff assistant. This person is the one you talk to when you first walk into the office or when you call. They handle phone calls and greet visitors. And very wise legislators hire someone from the district or the state for this job so people can feel an immediate connection and a bond to this person. Next up is the scheduler. And important to note here is that, you know, maybe chief of staff and legislative director and legislative assistant, those are sort of in order of hierarchy and importance. But when it comes to schedulers and assistants and correspondents, there's pretty much an equal level of importance of their role in the office. So don't take that this hierarchy as meaning less importance as we go down the list. The scheduler, it may also be the office manager or assistant and is responsible for the legislator's schedule. Now, some lawmakers have two schedulers, one in D.C. and another in the district. This person is the ultimate gatekeeper and may be the person who determines whether your group meets with a legislator or not. So, always be nice to the scheduler, treat that person with the utmost respect, and be persistent, but also be patient with them. The amount of requests that they receive is mind-boggling. We'll talk about that in a few moments. Now, try not to be disappointed if you don't get to meet with a member of Congress or a specific policy aide. Not meeting with a pertinent staffer is not necessarily a slight. These are really, really busy people. But if it happens again and again, well, yeah, it might be a slight. But keep in mind as well, while members of Congress are in D.C., they're busy with votes and committee meetings. And sometimes in D.C., this is the only place that you can meet face-to-face with the legislative assistant, which, as we discussed, has a huge influence on the member of Congress's thinking in that policy area. So we're going to wrap up talking about what it's like to work in a congressional office. On Capitol Hill, they work 50 to 70 hours per week. It's fast-paced, and they worked in very cramped conditions. I think anyone that ever walks into the Congress for the first time on Capitol Hill and walks into an office and sees or realizes where you're going to meet is actually where they work, and to see the cramped conditions that they work in gives you a much better context of what they're dealing with every day. Now, the number of staff that a House member is allotted by law has not changed since the 1970s, right? So think about that. Think about the expectations and the workload to has grown just exponentially, desires to produce, the constituents' communications that come in, and the increase that have happened over the last decade alone, where Some offices have received anywhere from a 200 to 1,000% increase in constituent mail in the past decade alone. And then there's social media as well. And the average age to consider for a legislative assistant is just 27 years old. So these are things to keep in mind about the basics of the U.S. Congress, and to keep in mind as we try to schedule meetings, we try to really understand the context they work in.